Section 3.
You will hear two people talking about the city of Manchester.
First, you will have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
We're here in Manchester today as part of our university course on places of economic significance, and I am proud to introduce you to Brian Jackson, an expert on all things related to this city.
It's a pleasure to be able to show you around the wonderful city of Manchester. Now, contrary to many people's belief, we have more to offer than just an internationally renowned football team. Actually, we're proud to be the home of two Premier League football teams, as we are home to both Manchester United and Manchester City. Our sporting connections don't end there. We were the proud hosts of the Commonwealth Games in 2002.
Is it true that Manchester is the third most visited city by tourists in the UK?
Yes, it is. Manchester today is a respected centre for the arts, the media, higher education and commerce. All these factors contributed to Manchester polling as the second city of the United Kingdom back in 2002. More recently, in 2006, the city was voted as the best place in the UK to locate a business in a survey involving business leaders. In 2007, in terms of the economy, we were pinpointed as the fastest growing city in the UK, so we have a lot to be proud of and grateful for.
Would you say that Manchester's importance economically and as a centre for commerce began in the time of the Industrial Revolution? Doesn't the city have a significant historical link to the textile industry and cotton? Even nowadays, in countries such as South Africa, the term Manchester is used to refer to household linen. You know, sheets, pillowcases, towels, and things.
Yes, you're absolutely right. During the Industrial Revolution, Manchester was the UK's most productive cotton processing centre, and most cotton spinning took place in the surrounding towns of South Lancashire and North Cheshire. Do you know what cotton spinning is, by the way? It's the process of turning the raw material into usable thread for sewing.
You now have some time to read questions 26 to 30. Now listen carefully and answer questions 26 to 30.
The cotton industry was really only the beginning, too. Very quickly, many associated industries sprung up around the city. By 1835, Manchester was considered to be the first and greatest industrial city in the world.
Associated industries? I'm not sure I follow you. Do you mean the retail industry? To sell the products made from the cotton and such like?
Well, yes, but that was only part of it. Manchester did become the world's biggest marketplace for cotton goods, but all of these other industries developed too. For example, there was opportunity for huge growth in engineering in the area because companies were needed that could make and supply machinery and processing equipment for the cotton industry. The chemical industry developed too, initially due to the need for bleachers and dyes to use on the cotton products.
Of course, because Manchester was such a significant commercial centre, it would have needed business services to develop too, I imagine. Such as banking and insurance, I mean.
Absolutely. Those business services were very important. Of course, distribution and transport channels also had to cope with a massive increase in business activity and the huge growth in the population too. Manchester was one of the first two cities in the world to be connected by the first intercity passenger railway. the Liverpool and Manchester Railway opened on the 15th of September 1830, and it was the first time all the trains on a line, which were hauled for most of the distance solely by steam locomotives, were timetabled.
So the line ran between the two northwest England cities of Liverpool and Manchester in northwest England? I was reading about it in an information guide. It said that the line was built primarily to allow faster transport of raw materials and finished goods between the cotton mills in Manchester and the city of Liverpool.
Correct. The connection to Liverpool was important, you see, because Liverpool had a port which allowed for onward shipping of products from Manchester to elsewhere in the world. Of course, in the latter end of the 1880s, Manchester itself achieved direct access to the sea thanks to the construction of the Manchester Ship Canal.
So, a city that is so far from the coast managed to get access to the sea?
Yes, that's right. The Manchester Ship Canal is a 36-mile, or 58-kilometre, long river navigation which connects the city to the sea.
That must have been an enormous engineering project, especially at the time.
Yes, it was. It was built between 1887 and 1894 and was then the largest navigation canal in the world. It cost around £15 million to build. By today's currency, that would translate to around £1.22 billion. It could accommodate a range of different ships and liners, but it's not large enough for many of the types of modern vessels used today.
Is it still used for shipping commercially today?
Yes, it still carries about 6 million tons of freight each year. It's operated privately now, and it's nowhere near as significant in shipping terms as it used to be. Right, now, let's move on to discuss some of the city's architecture.
That is the end of Section 3. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 4.